Well, you could look at it two ways. You could look at it as a challenge that you have to deal with every year, or you could look at it like it's a blessing that you have, you know, turnover on your offensive side of the ball. It means you have success. We try to look at it through the, you know, the second lens of guys having opportunities and growing. And I think the overarching theme is we want continuity in that system. We want to be running this Seattle Seahawks offense from now until they have me, you know. And I think we have a lot of talented guys in the building, too, that can keep expanding their roles over time. So just something you have to deal with from year to year. And but you also have to have a long-term plan as well. And I think it's a great opportunity for us. You know, if you want to coach offense football at a high level, there's going to be a lot of turnover on that side of the ball. And just I'm really excited for our group this year. You know, we've added some great coaches, including Brian and, you know, guys like Thomas Hammack, Daniel Stern. Those guys are really great coaches, you know, and they're gonna add to our crew.
Mike, what's the biggest challenge of being a defensive play caller and head coach?
Well, in game, I have a lot of help. Like Leslie Frazier does a great job, you know, being able to bounce ideas off of. Brian Ayers is our game management guy. You know, he's a guy that I lean on pretty heavily. So they do a lot of heavy lifting on game days. It's actually kind of nice. I think if I was an offensive play caller, to have a guy kind of telling me how to handle situations rather than having to. Most of the crazy situations happen when you're on offense. So to have kind of like a third party being able to kind of guide that, I actually think it might be more of an asset than people might anticipate. But to me, the most challenging thing for me is just handling time throughout the week. Make sure you're thorough enough, come up with a great defensive game plan with our staff. And honestly, for me, getting ready to call the game will also. It's really the front-end responsibilities of being a head coach early in the week and then being able to get caught up so everybody's on the same page at the end of the week has been probably the biggest challenge.
Mike, learning that the Super Bowl turned out as well as they were, how do you look back on the week in San Francisco and how you guys handled everything?
Well, I think the takeaways we had was it's like we went into this new frontier where we didn't have a lot of experience, and this is something we talked about throughout the week or throughout the season of, hey, as we get to these kind of these stages as a team, I haven't been through those. A lot of our team hasn't been through it. So what do you do? Well, let's apply our process to it, apply our principles, and then kind of manage it from there. Understanding there's going to be some differences in how you need to get ready for the game. And our guys were awesome with it. You know, they just kind of took it in stride. I felt like we were us all week. And that's really the focus, is maintaining like kind of who we are and our principles, and then, you know, understanding the things that are going to be different. You kind of just be able to move and shake, stay flexible when those things happen.
Mike, what did you like?
Sorry, James.
You were hired late in the head coaching process. What advice would you give for a first year head coach like Jesse, navigating the first 3 or 4 months on the job and everything that you have to do?
Yeah, it's not easy. I felt like I was drinking from a fire hose from a lot, but I think if you put too much pressure on you to like make all those decisions, it can kind of get overwhelming. So really, it's like part of our language is like take it day by day, like stack those decisions every day. Understand that it's going to get done. Might not be in the time that you want it to be in, you know, but stick to your process. You know, they're like they hired Jesse for a reason because of the things he believes in and who he is. So like trust that, you know, trust your instincts. Trust the things that you want your team to be about, and then go rip it.
What's your favorite Jesse Minter? When you think of Jesse Minter, what's your favorite Jesse Minter story?
Oh man, I have a couple I probably shouldn't share publicly for various reasons, but probably the national championship, like being able to go down there and just to see, you know, a lot of those guys are players that I was familiar with, and some of those coaches. So to see them in that atmosphere. Having taken like those next steps in their young career, yeah. And like the job that he's able to do, like bring those guys together, the way they played, like the you felt such a poise on that side of the ball, in person, you know, it just felt like, man, they were rock solid, and just really proud of him, you know, to see him with his family after the game. I thought that was a really special moment.
Mike, what's been the biggest spoil of being a Super Bowl?
Biggest spoil?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what's funny is like it's really cool, and I don't really think about it until someone brings it up to me, like, because you feel like I'm the same person, you know, which is, I think that puts everything in perspective. This is why are we actually doing what we do? It's really just like to defend our way of life, you know, that like we can be Seahawks and be great emphasis on people and enjoy the people that we're like, enjoy how we go about our business and the people we're with every day. If we would have lost again, I would have felt, probably hopefully would have felt the same and felt the same about our team. Like, had the same amount of pride in what we were able to accomplish last year.
Mike, Jesse said several times that you and he see the game in a similar way.
Yep.
If you could just, what ways do you think you guys are similar in how you see the game?
Well, I don't want to say you're too similar because, like, we haven't worked together in a while. And so he's been able to kind of create his vision on how he wants to operate. But I think he's probably alluding to, like, our more formative years, like when we were younger coaches in Baltimore. Like, we did a lot of behind the scenes work on some things we want to do, and either like building the systems or trying to come up with ideas for the people that we work for, you know. And then, you know, ultimately how we wanted to build like Michigan's defense. And then obviously he was able to take it to another level, which is really cool. So specifics, I'm not really sure. I think it's probably just more of like our formative years, like some of the things we did in some of those Baltimore years. Yeah.
Mike, I don't think you made an external addition up front, correct, on defense. Why is
that? Oh, like a player?
Yeah, because I feel like where you lost your, like, it was Reed signed a corner.
Yeah.
Kobe signed a, you know, from guy without a list.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't think you guys signed anyone up front.
Like, no edge guy?
Yeah.
One, I don't really know. Probably if there was a right opportunity, we probably would have done it. It's just like it had the right like matchup like hasn't happened yet, right. You know. So it's kind of one of those things like don't press it, and maybe there'll be another like either through the draft or maybe after the draft, free agency, or you know, something through training camp, or you know, our guys rocking and rolling, they play great, and we'll roll with the guys we have.
You asked for a guard last year. That's one of the things you asked for.
Yeah.
Is there anything in your mind you're gonna ask for?
Right now, honestly, there's nothing specific in my mind. It's been really, really neat to be in some of those meetings to see us, you know, like Brian and how he's done things, and then how our guys have done things, and see how that has married together. And that'll be a fun process to see, like, where it goes. I think we're like creating a great starting point about what we want our offense to be and how we want it to look like. But that's gonna be something we're gonna work throughout the spring. And it's the same thing last year. Like, you know, we're basically installing like it from the absolute like starting point of, you know, Clint's offense, and so we have a kind of a higher, you know, foundational threshold now that we can start from. So that'll be fun.
We're doing a story on
okay.
You said you have to work out every single
morning. Yeah, I do. If I don't, I'm a chotch. I get really fat. And angry, so let's not do that. Yeah, we work out. I'm not like a crazy morning person. I don't like run around and tell everybody how early I wake up, but basically we call it the Barbell Brigade. It's pretty cheesy. It's a great group, like, but we work out at 6, and that goes for like 45 minutes, and then I'm at my desk and off we go. So. Well, it depends on who wants to show up that day, you know, and who we're gonna give crap to later on. We're going to shame for not showing up on certain days, so they know that we're talking about.
Who decides? Are you all doing like the same?
Yeah, Monday is a tough day, so like Dana and I do our own thing, which I get crap for that, and then like Tuesday is upper body, Wednesday's cardio, Thursday's legs, and then you got to do arms on Friday, so that's a rule.
You guys obviously got the Jacks extension.
I don't know if you could like say enough. I mean, I'm on record with how we feel about Jax from the press conference the other day, and I think you guys know how I feel about Spoon. So I think what gets lost is like what their role is as like a leader on our team, but how young they are. So I think that's like a unique combination of like their impact on the team, but also, you know, they've only been here for what, 3 years, so the opportunity there to really lay a great foundation for the next, you know, 10 years is there, you know, which is really exciting.
How might become a good pro?
Yes.
That's we're from Vegas. How has he developed? Like, what have you seen in that he says he can actually make it?
Well, he did a great job on our ready squad last year, and he was not an easy guy to guard, and you could feel that throughout the season. That's a tribute to him, you know, to bring it every day and really attack his craft while you know, like that's not like something got to get paid off that week. You know, it's like playing the long-term game. So he's done a great job.
Do you anticipate Shahid being more involved this him?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that's a function of just more time with Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think we understand, we're going to have such a better idea of, like, what he can do and him understanding, like, more that, like, spend all those, like, time on the detail of routes and the timing and getting on the same page and the chemistry. So, you know, I think we were trying to get him the ball as much as possible last year. I just think, you know, I could think off the top of my head like three or four plays where, you know, we're inches away from explosive plays and some of those more intermediate cuts where you're just like a hair off on timing or location. So that's kind of like the detail we're going to be attacking this offseason, trying to make sure, you know, we roll and go into the season.
Going back into your pass questions, what are the front line? Does Riley factor in on the edge group too? Or
Yeah. Well, it depends on what's the sweet spot weight-wise and, like, just right now I think we're working through that on, like, where we want them to be. But, like, sometimes, you know, we do like a bigger guy on the edge, and I think Riley could do that. Well, like, you know, the Panthers kind of stole him from us there at the end. So that was a bummer. But, yeah, D'Anthony, he's been an asset for it. I mean, you've seen, like, you could probably rattle off some big plays that he's made for us, the punt block. He's a guy that gives us safety flexibility, but also some big nickel flex as a backup to Nick. So that's going to be something we want to make sure that, like, if Nick can't, you know, find his helmet for a series or two, we can still go in and operate our defense. Say that again, bud. Yeah, he's a guy that we've been interested in for a while, and finally we gave him some grief for, you know, maybe being a year late for when he should have been here. But but a guy inside outside flex, you know. So and there's great opportunity right now in our secondary to go carve yourself out a great role.
Coach, the way you.
No. I think he saw, like, through Jax's extension where Jody is with her priorities, and so we're operating like just as normal business, and it's great. So we can keep going. So we can, you know, keep cementing our roster for years to come.
Coach, the way you use my face, does that kind of sum up your approach? I mean, you kind of use guys in all different sorts of spots, and what do you think of his versatility?
Well. We kind of like you kind of figure out what guys can do, and then you just go let them do those things, you know. So, Boy isn't a guy we necessarily moved around a lot, you know. He basically played the edge for us.
He dropped a little bit, though,
right? Well, everybody drops in our defense.
Right, absolutely.
Someone asked this earlier, but like when I think of Boy, I think of a guy like that has some gas off the edge. Something that was like kind of his add to our defense last year, our defensive front. His ability to win quickly is pretty special to him. So that's something that's probably his, like, his best trait, rushing the passer, his ability to win quickly.
How about as a guy? What do you think of him?
A great guy, yeah. Yeah, Boy is a good dude. We've had it singing like all the times we're messing around in the defensive team room, but guys love him. Always in a great mood. He's going to work really hard. Yeah, he's going to do a great job. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. What do you think goes into?
Well, first of all, Jeremy does our travel, and it's very seamless. Like, there's never a hiccup. The time, like, everything's always set up. I think, you know, the investment we make in where we stay is really important. Like, we stay in great hotels, so we're really spoiled there. Commitment to be on 3-day trips, you know, that's a pretty penny, you know, when you add it up on some of those East Coast trips. But that's an asset for us. I think the team enjoys our plane, which is a commitment, you know, from the powers that be. And so I think just a continuous investment in how we do things and kind of putting the players first is a shout out to the people making those decisions and cutting the check ultimately. So yeah, really excited about that. I think I'm happy that players acknowledge it, honestly, that they realize that how much invested we are in them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about, like, being at Georgia and stuff?
Yeah.
honestly, what I've found is I've made some really dumb decisions in the past. By like, I was a GA once, and I went down to like South Georgia and did like a two-roll like craziest pressure clinic of all time, and the guys were like, "That's cool, but do you have any drills?" You know, like I'm like, so I've made the mistake of just being like trying to be too cool. That's still on the table.
Oh wow. That's
but now it's just working on like that was just like drills and like trying to actually give the coaches something that they can have. Really, the focus is like, what can we do? What can I make sure that you have something when you go back to your teams that's going to make you better right now? Rather than be like, here's a sweet play that we do. I've learned that lesson ultimately the hard way. We didn't let him go. He's getting a great player. We love Reek. He's a great player. Just can't afford him. Nah, that's the first time I've talked to Sean since the end of the season. I mean.
All right, thank you.
one real quick. What's your favorite coaching drill? What's your favorite drill you like to do?
What's my favorite what?
What's your favorite coaching drill on the team? What's the drill that you
do? I don't know, during practice?
Yeah. Eat. It's called the eat drill.
Can you explain it?
It's basically like how we finish plays, so it's always about like angles and tackling, things like that.
What's it look like in terms of the setup?
To like the naked eye, it looks like a tackling drill.
Okay, so it's a tackling drill?
Or like a takeaway drill. It's a naked, but it's like, it's applying our like EAT curriculum to the guys, yeah.
And what's EAT stand for again?
It's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
Ask Mike, he knows.
I'll tell you. All right, thanks.
All right, thank you.